Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. It's always a great encouragement as we gather together and come out to study God's Word. As we have this opportunity to do so, to be here with others of like faith, to encourage each other to continue to fight that good fight. Last Sunday night, I had preached on standing up for our morals, fighting the good fight to continue to stand for what is right, and if we don't, on how they could continue to go down the wrong path, and that the world will continue to get more corrupt. And one of the side points I had made during the lesson was to bring out abortion. And so with that on mindset, I decided to go ahead and do a whole lesson on that this morning. It's talk about abortion and to the point of talking about life in the womb. It is life that mothers carry inside of their womb when they are pregnant. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. We see that there are a couple ways in which one could go about the lesson or about a study in which talk about abortion. We get caught up and easily sitting here talking about the pain and suffering that the child actually goes through when aborted. We can go forth and talk about the pain and after effects and the sorrow that mothers end up going through after they make that decision, whether it's a year or 2 years or down the road, the consequences of having an abortion. And those are points that are good to make and good points to look at. And if you desire to study those things or look at other things, I'm more happy to study with anyone, one-on-one, anytime, or to do more on this topic. And if you desire that, please just let me know. We can find that information and study it together. But what I want to do is simply open up our Bibles and see what God has to say and pointing out through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures, we can see life in the womb, that God blesses us with children. So that's my first point I want to talk about this morning, is simply that children are a gift of God. That, you know, we get caught up in looking at so many points that people make today and why they feel that they should have an abortion, why they choose to go down that road, choose to go down that path. And most of the time it's into the point that, you know, a lot of them want to say it's due to something bad that happened to them with rape or something, and to the point that they're too young to have children at this time, that it messed up their life. Another point is simply that they've had the test done and they found out that their children are likely to have something when they're born, and so it's going to be a big hassle. Children are a gift of God. We need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to see that as we open up our Bibles. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, the 127th Psalm, and reading verse 3, says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are a heritage, it says. They are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing, a gift from God. You read the rest of that chapter, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." It says, "Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of arrows," and compares that to a man who has many children. My grandmother, I just recently was able to make a trip up there, and that's the quote that she used like two or three times while I was up there, because she's on her 17th great-grandchild. With my kids and my cousins, and, you know, we got two more due within the year, I think, my cousins having children. She goes, "Happy is the man who has a quiver full," right? And so she likes to quote that as they're sitting there. They're always updating that birthday list and trying. They do pretty good at making those calls during everybody's birthday. But happy is the one that has a quiver full. It's a gift from God. Again, you read the next chapter, Psalm 128. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. One who fears God, one who is blessed by the Lord, has what? Has children, has grandchildren, gets to see them grow up. It is a blessing from the Lord. Again, let us understand what the Bible is not saying as we read these scriptures, that you have to have children to be blessed. It is a blessing. It is a gift from God. We can study and look at the Apostle Paul and see that he said that it was good to stay unmarried. Therefore, he's saying it's good to not have children, and that you can do a lot of good work and dedicate your life in serving the Lord by being single and not having children. That's a point to bring out. It's not saying that just because someone doesn't have children doesn't mean you're not. But it is saying they are a gift of God. If you are able to have children, you do have children. They are to be a gift, something we are thankful for from God. They are a gift. Understand that God knows the infants, the babies, the children in the mother's wombs. God knew us when we were in our mother's womb. We see this idea and mindset as we open up our Bibles and see through the scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Here goes forth. As the Lord speaks about Jeremiah, he said, I knew you. I formed you. God knows us in our mother's womb. A similar reading in Isaiah 49, verse 1. Isaiah 49, verse 1 says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you heap peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix, my mother has made mention of my name." Again, just that idea. God knows us. God knew us in our mother's womb. He is the one that goes forward and creates us. He's still the one that gives us life. In Psalm 139 and verse 13. Reading the next few verses there. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows every well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me. And as yet there were none of them." Again here, it's just God is our creator. God knows who we are. God is the one that is, he created Adam and created Eve. And then as two people come together and they have a child, getting some DNA from mom and some DNA from dad, and God forms them and creates them. That as they're being born, again, another point that we could take time and studying about the physical points of a child, at what point they have DNA, their own DNA. As they are still in their mother's womb, that they have their own fingerprints once they get to that point. They have their own. They're unique. He uniquely makes us each. All differently. Even as close as you want to get, as you can get to caught up with twins and Simon triplets, we're all different. God creates us all different. But God knows each and every one of us. It's a blessing that we see from God. In Job chapter 10, and you read along with me here, and in verse 8, Job 10 and verse 8, it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me in interact unity. And yet you would destroy me? Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and cuddle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and you care, and your care has preserved my spirit. As Job has gone through the suffering, as Job has lost his children, as Job has been touched and has boils from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, he sits here and knows that God is his creator, questions why all this takes place. Again, he says something similar in Job 31, verse 15. 31 and verse 15, here it reads and says, did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Same God created us all. Right? Did he not create me, create you? God is our designer. The potter and the clay. God is the potter. We are the clay. As he goes forth and forms mankind and each and every person, God is blessing us. God is giving us this gift of life, granting you a child. We need to understand that just from this point of view, getting caught up, and we get caught up, and as it gets in the courts and stuff, you're talking about science and political and this and that. Spiritually, we open up our Bibles and study the scriptures. It shows us that God says there's life inside the womb. Because this is a gift of God. This is a blessing from God. God is the one that is creating this person. So one, to go forth and abort, to kill this living being, this living person, is to destroy a creation of God. It's to destroy a gift of God. We see examples with our Lord and Savior and with John the Baptist when they were born, or before they were born. As we look in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, if you will, Luke chapter 1, and in verse 41, as our Lord's mother Mary comes and visits the relative Elizabeth, read what happens here. In Luke chapter 1, and verse 41, it says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That baby leaped. It was joyful. It leaped in the womb. Again, when you get to that point of pregnancy, I know that mothers are sitting there feeling, they're making fathers come and feel, the baby's moving around. And again, we can get caught up today, how people are drawing the line where they're trying to say, even at the point of birth, that they still have the right to choose to abort that child. That's what people are trying to do. Yeah, here they got moved. Here, yes, we're talking about a special occasion, especially here with the Holy Spirit and our Lord and Savior, and knowing that this is the Lord that's inside Mary, and so you have one baby leaping because it. But it is a blessing from God. It is a sign of life. Verse 42, then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Good point to bring out as you get into the next chapter and the children are born. It is using the same word as it did here. And it wasn't a different term to say that it's not life inside the womb. When it says babe in chapter 2 and in chapter 1, it's the same word. Speaking of the child, speaking of life. Same thing as I got chapter 25 twice there, but I think it's chapter 21. Turn to Genesis 25 and 22, if you will. Genesis 25 and verse 22. as you read along with me here. And it says, and the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Or 22, I'm looking at 22 says, but the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Again, here's just the point that they call it children. They didn't say the fetus, the living thing, but not a human inside your body. The children, the babies inside your womb struggle within. Again, I believe it was chapter 21 that I wanted written down for that second verse. When it's talking about Isaac being born, and after Isaac is born here, it's using the same word, I believe in verse 7, it says, so also said, who would have said Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And so the same word, and I'll confirm that if you want me to get the Greek out, or Hebrew, here in the Old Testament. Same word again, children after being born, and the same word for children when they were in the womb. Life, child. There's life inside that. Therefore, when we talk about abortion, when we talk about murder, that's what it is. We are killing a life that God has granted, that God has blessed somebody with, a gift that God has given them. But here we come to this point that these babies, they are helpless. They are the innocent. They are unable to defend themselves. So someone has to stand up for them. Someone has to take a stand and defend these babies, these children. Someone has to stand and fight for them. In Proverbs chapter 6, if you turn along with me there, in verse 16, Proverbs 6 and verse 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Who's more innocent than a child? Than a baby that's not even been born yet. And it could not have done any wrong. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Hates them. There are things that we read right here that can be pointed out that God hates. How often I got to make sure that I'm teaching my children, guys, you don't want to say that word. You don't ever hate someone that much. You don't hate your brothers. You may be mad at them. You may be angry at them. You don't hate them. God hates the people who shed innocent blood. You are setting yourself up for the wrath of God. This is the path. You go down. In Psalm 82, verse 3. Psalm 82. You read along with me, 3 and 4. It says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Again, the needy, the poor, those who are weak. You know, just general point of view that those who are able defend those who are weak. Stand up and we assist and we help. We aid as brothers and sisters in Christ that we are supposed to be there for them. Right? Again, out of everyone, who needs the most help? Babies cannot do a single thing on their own. Even after they are born, they need the parents to feed them, to change them, to clean them, to carry them. Otherwise, they're going to be in the same spot. They're going to just sit there, and they're going to die on their own if someone's not there to take care of them. So we have to be willing to stand up and be there for them. Going back to Proverbs 24, and looking in verse 10. It says, if you faint in the day of the adversary, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Here it brings out to those who are struggling, to those who are weak, those who are being led to the slaughter. And now what are you going to do about it? And it says, someone get caught. Oh, I didn't know that they were in this bad of shape. I didn't know that they were being led this path and that someone needed an assistance. Someone needed to go save them. Someone needed to stand up. Speak out. Again, I know we get caught up. How much can we do? There's things we can do. We can speak up. We can teach. When time comes around, we can vote. There's certain things that we can do. And God knows what we choose to do. God weighs our hearts. He knows our deeds. And we'll be judged accordingly. We'll be judged accordingly. Verse I believe I left out, and I'd have to look it up. I want to say it's going to go back into the law of Moses, giving it to the law. But one of the points, I can't believe I forgot to write it down in there. That as it is, I believe it's still a law today, even as it was a law then. Somebody who kills somebody who is pregnant, it's double homicide. Under the Bible, it's the same way. Someone who kills someone who was pregnant, that they were to be treated as they killed a person. Killed the baby that was inside the womb. Because the example he gives is if they harmed the woman, but the baby did not die, it's not as big as a punishment because she did not kill the baby, kill the child. And so it was a different punishment for just harming it, but not killing it. I believe, again, it's still law today, at least I'd have to look that up. I remember talking about it a long time ago on that point. That, yeah, people can go get an abortion, but someone who wants to keep the child, and something happens to that person, and they lose the child, and they both die, double standards. We'll look at one nice thing this morning in Exodus, an example for us to stand up for those who cannot, and God blessing them. In Exodus chapter 1, and starting in verse 15, it says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Phil. And he said, when you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all the people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. These two were saved, were blessed by God because they stood up for the innocent, for those who could not stand up for themselves. They did not follow through when they were threatened, when they were commanded. They knew right from wrong. God will bless us also if we continue in His ways. If we continue to stand up for the right. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. I know it's a specific lesson this morning. A lesson that may not have to do with salvation and being baptized for remission of sins, but we extend that opportunity every time we gather together. Making the right choice, standing up, and being willing to follow God. It's one of the first steps of getting to this here, that you follow God. Have God on your side as you go forth and try to fight the good fight. If you're here and you need the praise of the congregation, you have fallen back into sin, back into temptation, you need to make that right with God. You need the praise of the congregation to assist you, to give you strength, there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.